Wow, I don't remember ever being up here this early. Wow. You're either in for a real short one or maybe not. God's glory was everywhere, Julie's testifying as I stand up here. It's awesome to walk in and experience his presence. And this is what we get to do. It's what we get to be about. We get to. Yeah, we don't have to do this. We don't have to. We get to be in his presence. He allows his presence to be poured out upon us for us to live there. Yeah. So the title of this message is an Issachar anointing. And I'll tell you a little bit. I'll give you the verse. You all know it. It's basically six or seven words from Chronicles. And then I'll tell you how this came about. I was sick the beginning of the week, and so I was sitting at home and, still praying, still studying, and just Lord gave me some revelation about some things. And the passage that we're going to look at is from 1 Chronicles. We actually studied this in Open Door class today, and the context here is that David is transitioning into his kingship, taking the reins from Saul, and so there's a whole little section here that we read in class today about just the armies from the different tribes that were being assembled to come alongside of David in this transitional period in his life, and these were physical armies of men, and it goes through each one, This group of men from this tribe, this group of men from this tribe, and it gave numbers, and there's like volumes of people. As Deb said in class today, I can't even imagine how they all got the message in those days to be on assignment. Hey, we have matching glasses, kind of. Yeah, so we come to this verse, and it talks about the tribe of Issachar. And it says very simply, from Issachar, the men who understood the times and knew what Israel should do. And when I read it, we've referenced this verse many times. It's amazing because the scriptures don't give you a whole lot more about the tribes of Issachar or even what he's even talking about. It just says, these men understood the times and they knew what to do. And I will tell you, outright here, there's nothing in Scripture that specifically talks about an Issachar anointing. But I'm telling you this, that if we understand the times and we know what to do, the only way we do that is under an anointing from Holy Spirit and through the Word of God. And as we talked about this in class today, I asked them to explain, how did you understand the times? How do you know what to do? And I'll tell you right from the start here, foundational to understanding the times and knowing what to do is the Word of God. And I'm grateful around here that we hear the Word of God over and over and over and over again. I'm grateful that we have a people that is hungry for the Word of God, that you, in your alone time, you spend time poring over the Word, studying it, not just reading it, not just some sort of a passing, well, I've got to do my thing here today type thing, but no, I want to hear from God. I want to be in His presence. I want to experience Him. And I believe it's from that place that we begin to understand what the men of Issachar experienced. They were men who understood the times and they knew what Israel should do. And I'm saying that we can understand the times and we can know what we're supposed to do. And I believe we're actually learning to do that more and more. We aren't perfect. We're works in progress, but I believe we're learning to do that. So I'm sitting at home, and for whatever reason, I was rethinking the past month here. I think I spoke about a month ago, and I was rethinking, and I was on went to our Facebook page, and I was just looking at different posts that we had made in the last month, and I'm just going to go through this because, I'll explain some of them as we go, and then I have some points I'm going to make. But I want to just show you. I'm always paying attention to what's going on around here. I'm always, whatever the gathering is or whatever that I may or may have nothing to do with, but I'm sort of paying attention to it all. And so as I was looking at this week, the first thing I was thinking of the last three messages from Bobby, from Pastor Shane, and from Pastor Ben. And I was I actually had my little notebook, and I was looking at just different notes I had written about each one. So the first slide I put together was just these three messages: the Midnight Cry, Cultivating Honor, and What a God. What a God. Cultivating a culture of honor, the Midnight Cry. So Bobby was up here last week, and what I love about how messages come forth is the Holy Spirit is emerging these things. Bobby brings this word, the Midnight Cry. The week before, I was driving here from on Saturday morning from men's prayer meeting, which all men in the room are invited to attend. We always put a plug in for it. It's relevant. It's relevant. But anyway, I was driving here to the Belonging Conference. The women were having their Belonging Conference the week before, and I was driving here, and I had gotten up that Sunday and shared this, but as I'm driving here, the sun was so bright. Incidentally, the sun was equally as bright yesterday morning after men's prayer. I was also driving here. I had to do a couple of things before I had to go do something else, and it was equally as bright, and it was equally as bright later in the afternoon, and it just caught my attention. I was telling Connie about it. Connie's homesick today, but I was telling her about it, and she said, well, maybe the sun was just bright. I said, maybe the sun was just bright, but it caught my attention. Caught my attention, because that morning as I'm driving here, the Holy Spirit spoke to me so clear, and I got up and shared this, just the words of that song that Pastor Donna Pauline used to sing all the time. See the bright light shine. It's just about home time, and I can see my Father standing at the door. The world is in a wilderness. Boy, is it ever. The world is in a wilderness and looking for deliverance. They don't even know they're looking for deliverance, but they are. Oh, Lord, I've never been this homesick before. And it was so pronounced as I'm coming to this Belonging Conference, and I'm driving here, and I'm reminded of this, and I'm like, oh, my goodness, I have to tell these ladies, you know, some of the Belonging ladies, that this conference is so relevant. This conference is so relevant for these times that these women are being molded and shaped, all being prepared for the return of Jesus, all to be prepared for the return of Jesus. And what an exciting thing. Next week, Bobby gets up and speaks this message, the Midnight Cry, which was another song we used to sing, you know, at the Midnight Cry, we'll be going home. At the Midnight Cry, we'll be going home. How relevant this word was. And he told us last week, he said, not only bring your lamps, but bring some extra oil, he told us. Bring some extra oil. And then Pastor Shane, the week before, this whole idea of culture of honor, and he got up here and he told this account of how when he first started coming here, he said he wasn't enamored by the music, he wasn't necessarily enamored by the teaching, he was enamored by the love of Jesus that he experienced among a people. That had, and where do we learn this? We learned this from our founding pastor and his wife about loving one another and caring for one another. So a culture of honor was developed here from the start of this ministry, and we heard about that week. And then it was 2 weeks before, because there's something in the middle here that I'm going to get to, was Pastor Ben, and he spoke about a message called What a God. What a God. And that message, what I love about this is the fluidity that happens among us. Is this message all erupted from the week before? I believe it was the youth worship team had done a song called What a God. What a God. And in that song, it talked about a Jesus who is a God that would go after the lost. That's our God who would go after the lost. And then it talked about, all I had to do was sit at your feet. All I had to do was sit at your feet. That's the God we get to serve. He lets us come up close and sit at his feet. And when Pastor Ben sent me his message title that next week, I said, we just heard that. We just heard that in the song. He said, yeah, that's where this came from. And the reason I point out these messages is that we don't give messages to just tickle someone's ears and then to have there be, okay, that was a good message and go home and there's no connection to anything. It all intertwines. It all intertwines. There's recurring themes. There's one thing happens in a service and it leads to something else. Matt Holden asked me, came over and said, "You preaching today?" I said, "Yeah." He says, "Is it going to be about Jesus?" I said, "He might get a mention." Because that's who we, that's why we do everything that we get to do. That's why everything we get to do is, and I believe when we do these things, there's a response from heaven that is not unlike the men of Issachar who had knew the times, understood the times, and they knew what to do. So I'll go on to my next slide. So this was the week between What a God and Culture of Honor. His Little Feet was here. That's a ministry if you were here for that morning. It's these children from three different countries in the world that come and they just share, they sing and they testify about Jesus, and they travel around the country doing this. And I'm reminded of so when they're here, we never do something just to do it. But I remember, and we talked about this, that we wondered what that would be like. We had never heard of His Little Feet before. But Pastor Mark knows. And Pastor Mark's not just going to bring entertainers to us. And he brings this team of people in here, these young people. Many of them stayed in your homes, which is awesome. You opened your homes to them. But they just got up here, and it just felt like they were us. They were part of us. They were part of us, even though they're from different cultures. But they got us, and we got them. And so they were here that morning. What I love about this body, and what I see continually happening in this body, is that it's never an event unto itself. It's never an event unto itself. So Dina Rozeski, she was teaching back there, or is she not here today? Okay, so Jerry back here, her husband. So Dina was so affected by them. She's then in touch with Krista Hahn, who her husband are the leaders of His Little Feet. She's in touch with them, asks them, what do you do for Christmas? What do you guys do around Christmas? And so there's this whole opportunity for ministry to these children over Christmas. And so Dina comes and says, "Hey, can we help? Can we help, like, send them gifts and send them stuff?" And you know, she approached me and apparently approached Pastor Mark too. And we, of course, he said, yes, we can do that. And so there's a whole, if you want to help His Little Feet children, see Dina. She's not here today, but she put out this little thing. I don't know if we shared it with anybody or not. I don't know if we put that out there. But there's steps to take. To go to Amazon and an address and how to go about doing that. But that's, again, part of the work the Holy Spirit is doing among us here at Abundant Life. It's part of knowing the times and knowing what to do, understanding the times and knowing what to do. Next slide. This is the Belonging Conference. Whole Belonging Conference. The whole title was As Gold. As gold, God is refining his people to mold them into his likeness so that we're prepared for when he comes back. And so for 2 days, women gathered in this place the whole intent was to draw people together for no other reason than to acknowledge Jesus as Lord and Savior and then do whatever work he's doing among us. One more thing on His Little Feet. So His Little Feet, that morning, because this had been promoted, there were a lot of people here that aren't normally here on that Sunday, but there was a man who was here and at the very end of that service, I specifically remember saying, "Hey, we want to make sure we have opportunity to pray for you today. We don't have ministry to for you today." And so there was a man that had never been here before, I'd never met him before, who was sitting over here, and he came down for prayer. He has been at our Men of Valor class every week since then. Never knew him before. Never knew him before. So, again, we have these things that go on, and but it's not an event for an event's sake. We don't do events for event's sake. We do events because Holy Spirit orders the steps, tells us what to do, and how to do it. Secondly, that same morning, there was a man here who is a missionary in France. And he had no idea that we were having that event that day. I thought he saw it somewhere and just showed up. He said, "No, Holy Spirit told me to come here today." He's now in, I don't know if he's still there, but I know he went to Japan last week. I don't know if he's still there or not. But he just happened to be sent into our midst today, and now he has relationships with multiples of us that were in touch with him. I don't know what Holy Spirit has in mind, but he always has something bigger in mind than what the event was for. Because he's always so many more steps ahead of us. But that's part, again as I'm talking about this, this is part of understanding the times and knowing what to do, and that we, Abundant Life Fellowship, have assignments on us. If you're part of this body, this is part of our assignment, is to understand the times and know what to do. And the reality is, we keep doing it, and I'm not saying we do everything well. Sometimes we're tripping and falling and stumbling along the way, but we're figuring it out. We figure it out together. Sometimes mistakes and all, but we figure it out. Next slide. Oh, this is a cool one. This is our EEC. So we have a homeschooling group that meets here every Thursday. And so this is all this stuff happened in the last month. All these things were on this property in the last month. This is just one month of life around here. But Randy had sent me this. Randy, wave your hand. Randy leads our EEC, our homeschooling group, fourth year, right? Fourth year. Yeah, that's a snake. That is a snake. And they had this outdoor program. This guy, this company, I think, that comes in and does this thing on outdoor, on wild things that are out there. And again, there's nothing inherently spiritual about this outdoor program. But the whole idea is that all of these children, I don't know how many were there that day, but there was a crowded room. There was a crowded room that are here to get a homeschooling education, because it was on the heart of Randy how many years ago now? It started 4 years ago, so it probably would have been a year before that, where the Holy Spirit, during a time of fasting, put it on her heart to start a homeschooling group within the confines of this body. And so we have this homeschooling group that has grown with each year since it started. And it's just another reminder of understanding the times and knowing what to do. And it's cool to see. We've met so many families through this ministry. It's not a ministry unto itself, because it's dealing with people and relationships. And so there's always more. There's always things that grow out of that. This next one here is, there's two things up here. The one on the left is our food pantry. So this one I'll spend a little bit of time on here explaining this. So we had food pantry beginning of November, and it happened to be that this was during the government shutdown. And so because of the government shutdown was going on, I had this bright idea to say, well, let's put this out there everywhere that this pantry is going on, because there's great needs out there, you know. So we posted it on like all the Crestview sites and New Waterford sites, and so I did all that, and then I told Lori. Lori is our director of the pantry, so I said, oh, by the way, I put this out there we're promoting the pantry, you know, extra this month. Well, and Lori does this anyway. She always orders way more stuff. Like, she goes up there and she, you know, I have no idea where I'm putting it, but I'm getting it anyway. So she always comes with, you know, three pickup truck loads of stuff, and then we decide, you know, where it's going to go. And that particular morning, that day, rather, it wasn't morning, it was morning into evening, And they usually do two-hour increments. Well, they didn't have two-hour increments. They never stopped. She said that normally 125 people you normally serve. 125 people they normally serve. That particular day, they served 256 or 7. And the awesome thing about this, the awesome thing, she shared this in our open door class today, was the very last man that came at 6 o'clock. They were done at 6 o'clock. Very last man that came got the very last piece of meat. That's how good our God is. That's how good our God is. And again, it's another reminder of we understand the times and we know what to do. It's ongoing. I mean, it's ongoing. It doesn't stop. So the other thing on the right is a picture that Pastor Mark took that same week, the Crestview Little Rebels, that's our local school district, Crestview Little Rebels had an honors or awards something here, recognition thing here. Pastor Mark says he's never seen the sanctuary as full as it was that night. And again, nothing inherently spiritual about that, but the reality is that this becomes a gathering place for people. This becomes a place for people to come. And I don't care whether you know Jesus or not, but you can walk in here and not know Jesus. You can walk in here to an awards banquet, and the presence of Jesus can somehow minister the love of Jesus to you. And I was reminded of this, of a word Kim Blakeney had for us, I don't know how many years ago now, quite a few years ago now, about there's going to be, I don't know if it was a dream or a vision, I can't remember which, this was an actual dream, of people coming onto the property every day of the week. This was a Thursday. The pantry was a Wednesday. So the Lord is doing what he said he would do. He's doing what he said he would do. And the key for us being right in the middle of it is understanding the times and knowing what to do. So the very last one here is, this is shoebox filling. So shoebox ministry is not a new thing for Abundant Life Fellowship. I don't know, some of you maybe remember back in the day when Kathy Shippert, a lady named Kathy Shippert, who then was Kathy Hawkins, did the shoebox ministry. And it was very small at the time. And then Vivian Bonsall took it over. That's Cindy's mom, took it over. And she did that here for many, many years. And then it went away for a while. Here's the thing about ministries. We don't do a ministry just because it's successful. So if somebody has a heart for a ministry like that, then, hey, speak up and we'll have you do it. Well, no one spoke up. So when Vivian was done with it, it was done for a while. And we're not going to just replicate it because it was successful. We don't function that way. If you don't have an anointing to do it and you only take on something because we've always done it and somebody needs to do it, you'll wear out real quick and that won't work. So we don't do that. But this year, Jessica Dieter, Adam and Kelsey and Baby are here today. Baby is here, right? Yeah, you didn't leave her at home, right? That's awesome. Welcome. They haven't been here since the birth, so welcome. First time newbie. We got a newbie in the building. Yeah. Awesome. So Jessica Dieter, Adam's sister, comes to us and says, "Hey, I have a heart for this shoebox ministry. Can we get that? Would I get that going?" Well, I mean, she was like a mini Vivian. You know, just her passion. I mean, I remember sitting in the office with her, and she was like so excited about buying something for a Dollar General and I'm like, "Oh, that's great." The man response is like, "Okay, great." But she was so passionate about it, and this past Tuesday we delivered 224 boxes to the upper room. You know, because you guys said yes. You guys keep saying yes. And I was telling our class, open door class, this, I don't know, last week or week before, that I say yes for you all to many, many opportunities for us to minister without out ever asking anybody's permission. And the only reason I know I can do that is because I know you all. I know your heart is after Jesus. Your heart is to serve people. Your heart is to care for people. And all of that comes because you live with this understanding of the times and knowing what to do. This was so revelatory as I'm sitting at home this week, coughing and sneezing, and I remember Lori calling me. We were talking a little bit about her mom, and we acknowledged Lori's mom's passing. Linda Krause with Jesus. She's dancing, I think, probably. I don't know if she danced at all, but she might be now. But she's talking to me, and she called me several times, and she was like apologizing. I was like, you don't have to apologize. It actually interrupts my sneeze and my cough and my to just do something else, you know? But it was just, again, it's a reminder to me, all the time of the anointing that is on us to carry out the assignments that God has for us. And why I volunteer us is because I know God has, he's given us words. We've been called an ICU all those years ago. That means hurting, broken, sick people can come in here. Julie just said I was one of them. Who else was one of them? Yeah, sick, broken, hurting people can walk in the room, and we get to minister the love of Jesus to you. So we were called an ICU. We've been called an apostolic hub, a place where people can come and learn about their giftings and learn about their callings and learn about what they're supposed to do. And given the freedom and the tools to do this. As I go through all of these events that we had here, I can stand here right now and tell you I had almost nothing to do with any of them. I showed up for some of them. Yeah. So Pastor Don's line to us over and over again over his early years here and later years here was just show up. Show up and plug in. Show up and plug in. Holy Spirit's going to do something with that. He's going to respond to your step of obedience. I was several other things I was reminded of this morning. I had written down just show up. I had written down apostolic hub. I had written down ICU. And then he reminded me, this was quite a few years ago, Bill Thamelaris speaking to us at a service up on the hill, up at the pavilion, where he said, people are going to come on this property, and we're going to be able to say, this is your God. This is your God. We're going to appoint people to the God of the universe to say, this is what he wants from you. Part of our assignment, but paying attention, understanding the times, and knowing what to do. So I was thinking about this. There are 4 points I'm going to make here. 4 conditions, I probably could have come up with 20 conditions. 20 conditions that help us to pay attention to what God's doing, what Holy Spirit is doing, and then knowing how to respond to whatever. It's funny because I was talking this morning to Diana Mullins, and she said, she was telling me that she's going this week to pray over the Columbiana County Commissioners meeting, and this is her first time going down there. And she was reciting the names of the commissioners because she wanted to have them right. Here's what she said. She said, "I've been praying to be obedient. That's how I get to do all this stuff." And then she was telling me about somebody she met. That she met somewhere along the line that's living together, and she says, you guys need to be married. Call Pastor Jeff, he'll marry you. And here's what she said: I volunteered you. So the tables are turned. I volunteer all of you. She's volunteering me. But the reality is, because we know each other's hearts, we know one another's hearts, and so we know I can't say we know every answer to every problem or every situation, but we know who does. And so that's who we're going to ask for the guidance and help to lead it all. But this is the kind of people God raises up here. I was at men's prayer meeting yesterday, and I heard, and I think, did you share the skateboarder story at Burning Ships? So Men of Valor had burned the ships. It's a worship night for men that we have once a month, and that was Friday night. And John apparently shared, John Hawkins over here, shared how at some point in the last week, I'm guessing, last Friday, saw a guy that was on a skateboard, and he's apparently skateboarding across the country. And so he happened to meet him or see him, and the Holy Spirit said, "Go tell him I love him. Go tell them that Jesus loves them." And so the guy had a dirty backpack. Is that correct? Had a dirty backpack. And this summer, just for a little context, this summer, I had an encounter with a friend who sent me this song. And the song was called Dirty Backpack. And I hope I can get through this, but it says, The line in the song says, "So if you're broken, if you don't believe, if you're tired of the lies, come anyway with your anger, your doubt, your dirty backpack. No one here will ask you for a VIP card, because as long as I breathe, this church will be a place for hope for the hopeless and a home for the homeless." And so he sees this backpack, and Holy Spirit says, "Go tell him I love him." And that was that. He just did it. He just did what Holy Spirit said, because Lord is raising up a people here who understand the times and know what to do. And sometimes it's a simple, tell him Jesus loves him. Before I went up to class today, so again, yesterday at prayer meeting, we pray about multiple things at prayer meeting, but one of the things we prayed for was the ministry that some of these guys, John, Matt, Pastor Shane, I don't know who all else goes to the gym, but they have this. They go to a gym in Columbiana, and they play worship music, and they talk about Jesus, and they just live Jesus out right there in the gym while they're working out. And we were praying about that yesterday. And so after prayer meeting, Pastor Shane goes to the gym to walk on the treadmill for a little bit. And so he was walking on the treadmill. Well, John was there, and they cranked up their music, and they did their thing. And then John left. And so this guy comes over to Pastor Shane, and he gets on the treadmill next to him, and they start talking. And Pastor Shane says, "Yeah, we just had church here. We just had church here." And they ended up talking for 40 minutes, and Pastor Shane got his phone number, and he said you could just tell in the conversation as he told him about Jesus and told him what a transformed life means, that going to church is about transforming your life, not just checking a box, not just, "Well, I did my church thing." It's about transforming, having your life be transformed. And so he said that you could just see the wheels kind of turning in this young man's life. And again, I tell you that story because this is what Lord is doing among his people in this body, that wherever we happen to be at any given time, we get to share Jesus. We get to give away what he's given to us. So we're spiritually, my first point of a condition that favors understanding the times and favors knowing what to do, is that we are spiritually awake and alert. We're paying attention. And so if you're in this body, or you're just attending here, or you're curious about what we're about, that's part of it. We are spiritually awake. We are not asleep. And I don't say, and understand this, I don't say any of this with any amount of pride or we're all that or anything like that. I'm just simply telling you what Holy Spirit has called us to be. And we're spiritually awake and we're alert, we're paying attention. In Ezekiel, we have this vision. Ezekiel has this vision. It says, Son of man, I've made you watchmen for the people of Israel. So hear the word I speak and give them warning from me. And so part of understanding the times and part of paying attention, part of knowing what to do is that we're listening. We've got and we're watching. We've got watchful eyes all around us, not to necessarily see the physical stuff that people are dealing with, but Holy Spirit will reveal to us someone's hurt. How many times, I could probably be here the rest of the day with testimonies from people that happened to be somewhere and they saw someone and the Holy Spirit showed them something. And then he showed them what to do. Well, pray for them. Ask for their phone number. I think of the day, you know, many, many years ago now where Kelly Cope sees Katie Ricketts on a college campus. And their class was canceled that day. And Kelly says to Katie, let's go have coffee. Let's go have coffee. And finds out that Katie is going through a terrible thing at the time. You know, Kelly Cope's sitting right here. Katie Ricketts and her husband and daughter is sitting right there. Her other son's over here with his wife. They got planted here because someone who, you were probably 20s, 19, 20, who even at age 19 understood the times and knew what to do to reach out to someone. She didn't know she was hurt. I don't think she knew at that moment that she was hurting. But it opens up this door for ministry that leads to a whole family. Well, they were just a young couple at the time. That then became a whole family that gets planted in the kingdom. Because we get to be part of a body that understands the times and knows what to do. And so we're watching. We've got eyes open. Isaiah says, I've posted a watchman on your walls, Jerusalem. I've posted a watchman. There's watchmen. There's people who identify themselves, who know what part of their assignment here is to have eyes that see. Eyes that see. Luke 12, 35, 37 says this. This is Jesus saying, be dressed ready for service. Keep your lamps burning. And Bobby brought that to us last week. Keep your lamps burning. Bring extra oil. Like servants waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. And then one of my favorite passages about being watchful is from Habakkuk 2:1. I will stand at my watch. And what I love about this is the declaration. And I encourage every one of you to kind of make this declaration to be your declaration. Say, I will stand at my watch. I will station myself on the ramparts. A rampart is a lookout. It's a lookout place, kind of looking. It's a war term almost, where you're looking out to see what's happening out there. And then I will look to see what he will say to me. I'm waiting to hear my response, and he's waiting to hear a response from the Father. So I'm gonna station myself so that I can hear from the Father, so that I can know what to do when a situation arises. So being spiritually awake and active. Secondly, we are single-minded in our devotion to Jesus and to one another in our pursuit of obedience to his instructions. Single-minded. One of the things when we were talking in class today about this whole pantry thing, and one of the things Lori said, because you know, you're having all these people that you know are going to be showing up, and you're going to have all these people to serve. And she said, I don't worry about the pantry one bit. It is not my ministry. It is his ministry. And that is such a liberating mindset that we do not have to. And I basically concurred and said, Abundant Life Fellowship is where I'm the senior pastor, but it is not my ministry. It is his ministry. And I'll be really honest with you. I don't stress out about any of you. Yeah. No, I don't stress out even about you, Julie. No, see, this is his ministry. And there's freedom in that. our single-minded devotion to Jesus, He'll give us many, many, many assignments. He'll give us many things. And sometimes things are hard. There's hard things, hard assignments. I'm not suggesting every assignment is easy. But He equips us and gives us every provision we need to do what He wants us to do. So, gosh, I could probably, I don't know, am I already like almost out of time? Yeah. This is only point two. But, you know, the second chapter of Acts is such a model. We get to be a modern-day second chapter of Acts church. They're devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. So when you hear Pastor Ben give that message, when you hear Bobby give that message, and you hear Pastor Shane give those messages, what you do with it is up to you. But hopefully you don't just go home and say, that was a nice message and nothing is required of me. No, it says they were devoted to the teachings, and if you're devoted to the teachings, then you hear them and you do them. They were devoted to fellowship, devoted to meeting together, fellowship, whatever that looks like, not just on Sunday mornings, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. They were devoted to prayer. I know we preach this every week, but man, there's so many opportunities to pray around here. And sometimes group gatherings of prayer are still one of the least popular things that we could ever do in the body of Christ. But I tell you what, if there's three people in the room, God's in the midst of us. Well, even if there's just one, because He hears my prayers when it's just me. He hears your prayers when it's just you. But man, when we come together, I mean, prayer and worship gatherings are two of my favorite things we could ever do as a church. We do lots of amazing events. But I'll put Sunday night prayer right up there. I'll put Saturday morning prayer at Pastor Shane's right up there. It's something I can't wait to get to. Can't wait to get there. Yesterday, as I was leaving, I got a message from someone that was there who had a visual, had a vision of something that was happening at prayer meeting. And what was interesting to me was on the way to prayer meeting that morning, yesterday morning, I was reminded of very specific moments, either at men's prayer meeting, these were the two contexts, either at men's prayer meeting or at Heart of David worship nights, where Holy Spirit just did something so specific in my life, some revelation, some just moment of intimacy with Jesus in those moments that was so profound that it left a lasting impression on me. And so when this person sent this thing yesterday and I was reminded, again, going there of these moments, it's like, these moments we do not ever, ever experience if we don't show up for them. And so my encouragement always to everyone is, boy, the just show up line still matters. It's still relevant. And it's not a rule. It's not legalism. It's not, we experience Him in deep, deep ways that profoundly change us and affect us. It's where transformation continues to happen. It's not that it can't happen here. It happens here too. But it's in these intimate settings of His presence. And that's where this whole idea of they were devoted to the apostles' teachings. They were devoted to prayer. And here's what it says. Everyone was filled with awe. Many signs and wonders performed by the apostles. All the believers were together. They had everything in common. Sold property, possessions to give anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes, ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God, enjoying the favor of all the people. The Lord added to their numbers daily those who were being saved. Now, I don't think we have experienced yet added to their daily those who are being saved yet, but I believe that's still coming. The more we understand the times and know what to do and then do it. I read the part in here where it says, they sold property and possessions to give to anyone who has need. I don't know if anybody's selling property and giving away things to give away, but I'll tell you what, anytime we put a need out there, anytime we say there's a need, this body makes provision for it. It doesn't matter what it is. And again, I happen to be in the position where needs come our way, and we just say yes because we know we have a people that says, I will help, because we have a people that wants to be about what God's about, single-minded devotion to Jesus, and that produces people that want to be people of action. 2 Corinthians 3, Apostle Paul talks about this letter, and he says, you are our letter. He's writing to the church here. He says, you are our letter. You, Corinthians, are our letter, because you've been written on our hearts. You've been written on our hearts, and you're known and read by everyone. You show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. And that talks about ministry that has gone just from head knowledge, from facts about, well, I know Jesus loves me, that's a fact, but then experiencing that love in such a way that says, I want to love like that. I want to love like that. And then Philippians 1, where Paul again is thanking God for the church at Philippi, and he's saying, I thank God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel, from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It's right for me to feel this way about you all, since I have you in my heart. And that's, again, part of the work that we see going on here as we are bowed down, pressing into Jesus, understanding the times, and knowing what to do about it. We do that with one another. We do these things together, and we end up caring deeply about you. We end up caring deeply about one another. And that becomes tangible. It becomes tangible. And so a stranger walks in the room. We're going to love on them. And if they stick around for a while, they're going to find out that love is not put on. That love is not some sort of a lure or manipulative tool to say, come to my church. I was at a meeting this week. I'm part of what's called the Columbiana County Faith-Based Collaborative, and it's an arm of the County Mental Health Board, and I'm a member of the Mental Health Board, but this is an offshoot of that called the Faith-Based Collaborative, and I was at a meeting, and there's multiple people from multiple agencies, and two of the other pastors that are there, one's Greg Aker from the Upper Room, and one is Chris Brock from Living Life with Christ Ministries. And we were talking, one of the topics we're addressing on the Faith-Based Collaborative is homelessness in Columbiana County. Columbiana County doesn't have a whole lot of shelters for homeless people. And so one of the topics of discussion was looking toward winter time was warming stations, having warming stations. And we've been a warming station in the past where you hit a cold snap, and a particular extended cold snap, and we've opened the building and said, hey, you know, we'll have people here 24/7 for whatever time we establish, and we'll have hot food to serve, and you can come and hang out here to warm up. And so they were asking, Maureen is the head of the collaborative, and she said, Jeff, I know you guys have been a warming station. Tell us about that. So we talked a little bit about what we did, and you know, it was very uncomplicated. And so I volunteer us again. So if we have if we have cold snaps this winter, you know, we'll announce that we're a warming station and we need you to come and, you know, be part of that. And we won't have any problem having people do that. But one of the things that Pastor Greg and Pastor Chris and I, as we're there, we have there's several things over the last year or so. As we have built relationship with one another. Greg, I've known for a long, long time. Chris, more recent. But we've built relationship with one another, and we know each other's hearts, and we know the heart is kingdom-minded. It's kingdom-minded. We live with kingdom-mindedness, and we don't care if our name's on anything. None of us cares whether Upper Room gets credit, Abundant Life gets credit, Life with Christ Ministry. It doesn't matter. We want all the glory to go to Jesus because he's the one who's worthy of it. But anyway, we're sitting there talking, and they were talking about how can we get more churches involved in this, and I said, well, here's my experience is you have to build relationships you know, and we talked right there in front of everybody. I said, Greg, Chris, and I have a relationship with one another. We have a relationship with one another. We've grown to love and care for one another. And so we have the same heart for Jesus as one another. We're not tripping each over to say, oh, no, you know, come to my thing, do my thing. No, we have a heart for Jesus. I said, but the reality is what happens in a lot of churches is there's this territorialism to say, well, I don't know if I participate in that. People, if I send people to that thing they have at the upper room, they might start going to the upper room. Who cares? They're not yours to own. They're not yours to control. But a lot of churches will hold back from getting involved. There's a variety of other reasons. And I'm not saying that in any sort of judgmental way. It's sometimes a struggle to get lots of churches to cooperate, to just kind of be on the same page. But my encouragement for that was, invite them, first of all, to become part of the faith-based collaborative so that we can build a relationship. Because that's you know, if relationship isn't formed, then it just becomes this trying to meet a need without any investment in emotions and lives. And the reality is our lives are invested in Jesus. And so we get to share out of that place of, he did it for me first. I'm going to give it away. So the whole idea of that conversation was that if our focus isn't kingdom-minded, then we're not going to know what to do. We're not going to understand the times. Number three, we know who we are and why we do what we do. We know who we are and why we do what we do. We're not, I've seen this confidence in who we are. Again, this isn't arrogance. We're all that. We have every answer to every problem anybody will ever have. We know the one who does. So we're not afraid to tackle any problem anywhere at any time. But we know who we are. And I believe, I've seen our confidence in that grow so much as more and more people come alongside of us and say, yeah, what can I do? How can I be used? I have this idea. Great. Tell me about it. Step into it. But we know who we are, and here's who we are, first of all, Galatians 2:20. I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. And when we recognize that we're dead, that our motives don't matter, that our selfish ambitions have been laid down, and we live like that, it helps us to continually know who we are and why we do what we do. And it continues to help us to understand the times and know what to do. Ephesians 2:10 says, we're his workmanship. Do you see yourself as God's workmanship? You may look at yourself and say, well, I don't really have that much to bring to the table. Yes, you do. You just haven't discovered it yet. You haven't figured it out yet. But every person who has breath has something to bring to the table. We're God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works. Good works don't earn us anything. This isn't about earning our salvation or working our way for salvation. But we work out our salvation, and good works are part of that. And God prepared them ahead of time for us to do them. And then he says we should walk in them. We should walk in the assignments he's given to us. Walk them out. In Ephesians 4, Paul says this, we're no longer infants, tossed back and forth by waves, blown here, blown there, by every wind of teaching, by cunning and craftiness of men and their deceitful scheming. Instead, we speak the truth in love. Speaking the truth in love, we'll grow to become, in every respect, the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up as each part does its work. We know who we are. We're part of that equation. We're supporting ligaments. We're joined together by him. He's the head. We submit ourselves to that. And it works because as each one does its part, it grows. It grows. I don't know if anybody recognizes, but you're in an atmosphere where growth is happening. And I'm not talking about more people. That's part of the equation, but more people by just being a number of more people is irrelevant. The only part that real people matters is that real people are being transformed. Real people are being transformed. And as real transformation happens, that's called disciple making. Because we take someone alongside of us and we tell them about Jesus, and then they learn how to tell someone else about Jesus, and they learn what they've received, and they give that away. And that's the final point here, is that I could have had 20. We tell others what Jesus has done for us. We tell others about what Jesus has done for us. I think about back when how Abundant Life was growing and people were showing up. I still remember Patty Chamberlain being one of those who came in broken among many. Okay, Julie. Julie says, she's why I'm here. You know, who? Because she found Jesus. She found a home where Jesus was lifted up and his transformative power was evident and tangible. It wasn't just lip service. It wasn't just words on a page. It was lives in action. And she told everybody. Some of you remember a girl named Jill Chang. Jill Wyant was her maiden name, Jill Chang. She was in our young adults class, and she was the class evangelist. She was a teenager who came into this place and knew about Jesus when she came in here, but she saw Jesus in a way she had never seen him before, in real, everyday, transformative ways, and she told everybody. She brought at least 3 boyfriends. And the first 2 stayed even after she broke up with them. The 3rd one she married. But the reality is we tell people. That was our word 2 years ago. Go tell. It's our word for, that was just last year. Go and tell. Go and tell. Go and tell what he's done for you. Pastor Don said it over and over again. Tell your story about transformation, your story about your encounter with Jesus, your story about being changed is your story. No one can dispute it. No one can dispute it. Romans 1:6, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. We're living in a culture where sharing Jesus, there's a culture that is ripe for the gospel. Now, Gary gave us an account in class today where he was, and Gary shares Jesus wherever he goes, and he gave us this account where he was, a woman just started telling about how hurting she was over, I think it was a particular physical affliction, and they talked for quite a while, and then he said, can I pray for you? And she said, I don't want to hear any of that trash. I don't want to hear any of that trash. That's part of the culture we're living in. But then another woman came up and he ended up ministering to her. And I don't know about you, but I might have been a little gun shy. Maybe not anymore. But there would have been a day when the first shoot down would have said, maybe I've shut up this time. I probably wouldn't now. But they shared Jesus with the second woman and she received it. To me, he had an impact on both women. The impact was on both women. That woman, the woman that rejected him, will never forget. Will never forget the confidence he had in trying to point her to Jesus, because Jesus is still the answer. So we tell other people what Jesus has done for us. 2 Corinthians 5:11, 14 says, we know what it is to fear God. We try to persuade others. We try to persuade others. Love, Christ's love compels us because we're convinced that one died for all. Are you convinced? I know most of you in the room. I know most of you in the room are convinced. And if you're convinced on this last line is your assignment this week. If you freely received from Jesus free gift of salvation, forgiveness of sins, pouring out of his love. This was Jesus' words to his disciples as he was sending them out. He gave them these lists of instructions, and this was the very last line of instruction, was freely you have received, freely give. And I am convinced that all of these points, all of these conditions are the groundwork, are the foundation for understanding the times and knowing what to do. And that will continue as long as we have breath. I believe this is part of the assignment of Abundant Life Fellowship. I'm convinced it's an assignment of the whole body of Christ, but I know it's specifically an assignment of us here at this body. And I am so grateful. I can celebrate like Paul did when he spoke so fondly of the people of Philippians and the people at the Corinth church, because I get to be part of a body where I know I can say yes. And it won't just be one person that signs up to say yes with me. And it won't always necessarily be the same person. You know, there's some churches that says, well, it's the same five people that do everything. That is not the case here. That is not the case. I could go around the room. But there's more to be done. There's more to be done. Stand. You know, I went through that whole list of things that have happened in the last month, and that doesn't even begin to contain all the other things, the small groups that meet, the connection groups that meet throughout the week, the women's Bible study that meets here on Tuesdays, the jubilees that meet once a month. There are so many other things that happen throughout the week that no one ever sees, or there's not a poster for, or there's not a flyer for, because the gatherings that go on are purposeful. Things that go on quietly behind the scenes. But you're all a part of it. You're all a part of it. The Holy Spirit always, 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 always knows what he's doing among us. And each one of you can be part of it. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you. I thank you for the anointing that is on this people. And I pray your anointing even now over this body, that each one in this room will have some sense of belonging. Not to us per se. This is a greater work than us. We're just a part of the equation. But they'll know they belong to you, and because they know they belong to you, that you have assignments for them. And some of those assignments may just be some daily, some that happens on the spot. It says, hey, go give that person your coat. Go make a pie for that person, or go take that person out to lunch, or go pray for that person. So I pray on your anointing to just fall on this place. Holy Spirit, fall on us. Fall on us. Fall on us and equip us for whatever assignment you have for us even today. Whatever assignment you have for us tonight or tomorrow, forever, whatever trial we're facing, whatever challenge we're facing, that you pour out your Spirit on us to equip us to do battle. I pray for your praise to always be on our lips, because you are worthy. You are worthy. So I pray as we go out of here today that we will go knowing, first of all, that we are empowered and equipped. Empowered and equipped. To be agents of change wherever we go. To be agents of your love wherever we go. To be agents of your grace wherever we go. And anything and everything you do will all be for your glory, Jesus.